Now, a number of MPs are saying the next UK government should finance a compensation fund for victims of IRA attacks where Libyan explosives were involved. The Northern Ireland Affairs Committee says 2 decades of failure to seek money is letting victims and their families down. And they've been quite vocal in terms of criticism of Tony Blair's government, the Labour government, for not striking a deal, a similar deal to other countries like the United States. France and Germany actually got a similar deal as well. It was negotiated some time ago, multi-million pound settlements with Colonel Gaddafi for its citizens impacted by the Libyan directed terrorism. One of the members of the Northern Ireland Affairs Committee is local MP Danny Kinahan. Danny Kinahan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
This conversation has been had many times over the last 20 years. Are we any closer to people being compensated?
Well, I hope that the report that's come out will bring us closer and will cause the next government to actually take action. We had David Cameron saying that he would always ensure the victims were looked after, but then he didn't do it. But if you go right back, consistently, no one has really taken in the government this to the point where they've either set up a fund to look after the victims, knowing they'll get some of the assets, or they haven't actually sat down to try and use the assets while they're frozen here in the United Kingdom. And there's $9.5 billion there, and there's meant to be many more billions elsewhere in the world sitting in other accounts, some of them frozen.
Tony Blair rejects criticism of him failing the victims.
He does, and he refused and turned down to come to the committee. He did go to one of the other committees previously, but he wouldn't come to us this time. We had Jack Straw in, we had other members, but what really drove it home was when you listen to some of the victims from the Harrods bombs and others, similar to here, one person who had literally, body is full of pieces and is in constant pain, and all she gets is the standard health care from the National Health Service. And you listen to these people and realise that they were just a very small number of people, both in Northern Ireland and in the rest of the UK, who've not been properly looked after, and yet this money is sitting there unused, and we did nothing about it.
Could it have been a stumbling block in terms of the peace negotiations if there had been a fund that had been triggered to help the victims who were described as IRA victims of Libyan-sponsored terrorism? That's the way it was always described down the years. Those who would have been negotiating on behalf of people who were in the IRA would have seen that as unacceptable.
Yes, I mean, it could have been, but we got to the point, we do not know why in the Blair government that he didn't go down the same route as the Germans, the Americans and the French. We know he got peace and he was trying to get rid of chemical weapons and others, and at the same time make sure that the oil flowed in commercial interests. So, but he did nothing about trying to get something put in place to look after the victims and get compensation. And that's what we couldn't get to the bottom of.
Might that not be because Germany, France and America weren't trying to negotiate a peace deal?
That is quite possible. But it still doesn't mean we shouldn't have been trying to do it, because we have the victims here. They didn't. We have, sometimes the number is up as high as 250,000 in Northern Ireland who are suffering. And yet this money is sitting there, and we're not even trying to get to it. When we went to meet with the government, they said that their legal advice was that they can't use the assets. When you asked them what that was based on, it wasn't based on anything. It was just their lawyers had said, I don't think you can, because you'll find yourself in a long legal battle afterwards. If the government set up a fund, we know that when it gets to the European Union, the United Nations, to release the funds when Libya needs them, that we will have a say. So we're involved in the system and can be. So surely we can set up our own fund now, knowing that we can get the money back later.
And who will qualify? Is it simply people who were killed by weaponry or explosives, primarily Semtex, that came from Libya? What about the person who may have been killed by the IRA with a homemade fertiliser-type bomb? Will they not be compensated?
That's how it may look, but let's go deal with one thing first. Let's get the funding, get the victims up, and then we can look after those who have been damaged by fertiliser bombs and others from other means. I mean, it is there. It is traceable back to the Semtex and to the weapons, in many cases, that Libya sold us. So that is the route we're looking at. As to which victims and what, we haven't even gone into that.
So, but victims of loyalist terrorists, they're going to be totally on the long finger. Victims of state attacks as well?
If it's the Semtex and the weapons that have come from Libya, that's what that money will relate to. Quite how it is used by the government, we'll have to move to that when we get there. But let's get the money first, and that's what we really need. We need the funds put in place.
There's some very high-profile attacks, including the Harrods bombing, the Enniskillen attack, are just two that I immediately think of.
That's right, and there's also Manchester and others. But we tended in the inquiries to look at the bombings on the mainland rather than the ones here, but they're all linked. It's all the same sources of Semtex. But the stories were just appalling. And on the rest of the United Kingdom, the victims haven't got even some of the things we have here in Northern Ireland looking after victims. So it's to try and get everyone being looked after so that they have some decent life after their lives have been wrecked.
Every individual attack that had Semtex connected to it, some form of undercar booby trap bomb, do those people qualify?
They do. I mean, what we've been trying to do is also to push people, talk to their MPs, get their names brought forward so that we know who they all are. Because there are people who have moved. There are people who have been in Northern Ireland, now live in the north of England, and everyone's moved around. It's trying to make sure that there's a list there so that we're ready to help them. And at the same time, we've got to sit down and work out how much is actually needed to make sure that they all just have a decent life.
This doesn't run in isolation, however. It has to be linked to legacy and the stumbling block that is legacy.
It is all linked, but we have not been focusing on that. This inquiry was purely into looking at whether we can use the assets, get the assets released, and what the victims, were suffering from. So you needed to know the appalling cases to see how we needed to help them, and then to see if we can get the funds. And, I mean, Lord MP has put a bill through the House of Lords, but it didn't get through the House of Commons. And Tom Elliott, my colleague, an MP from Fermanagh, he had a debate coming up, which is now not going to happen because we've got an election instead.
It's hardly high up the list of priorities for someone like Theresa May, who'll most likely be the next Prime Minister. Might we be sitting 10 years from now still talking about the Libyan victims who weren't compensated?
I really hope not. I mean, we'll keep fighting and pushing. I wrote to her about trying to set up help for the victims just before the event happened in Westminster the other day, and I got a reply from her last week saying that they are looking at and working at it within her department. So there's a crack in the door there that we've got to now get in and make sure this report is read and followed, and that we can then move forward. So hopefully it isn't going to be 10 years. Hopefully we can get it to happen within a year or two.
Okay, Danny Kinahan, MP, thanks for your time. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Frank.
Right, it's 16 minutes past 9. Good morning. I want to speak to Kenny Donaldson, who's a spokesperson for Innocent Victims United. Kenny, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Kenny. Do you feel you're closer to the victims of Libyan-sponsored terrorism being compensated?
Well, I think, Frank, I suppose we've taken some time to take an initial look at the report. And obviously, there's a mixed bag of issues in there. I have to say, I suppose it took folk by some surprise, the very parliamentary type language within it. There certainly hasn't been a very direct attack placed upon Blair and others upon their motives in the past. The language is used, missed opportunities is somewhat tame. In what people actually believe was going on at that particular time, and why he did not place this issue as a priority. You quite rightly have referenced, Frank, that there was ongoing negotiations around a peace settlement here, and this was, in our view, certainly an issue which was factored in from the point of view of the Labour government, that they were prepared to offer a form of appeasement to others to cover their blushes in not pursuing this. But certainly on the basis of what's come out there yesterday, there does now appear at least to be a roadmap with a timeline, 31st of December 2017, that if the Libyans voluntarily do not deal with this matter, that the UK government will then act unilaterally, and in the interim period that there will be a fund established and set up. And that's very important to hear that within a report.
Yes, with the state of play as it is in Libya, you're unlikely to make much progress there.
Well, that's it. I mean, Libya is obviously still extremely unstable. There is a justice minister now in place in more recent weeks, and I understand the Foreign Commonwealth Office have had a number of interjections and meetings with them. The reality is that, and this needs to be understood, sometimes this matter is portrayed out in the public domain as basically about finance and people wanting to have rich bank accounts. If you talk to a great many of those victims whom were affected, this issue more than anything else is about accountability, it's about rewriting a wrong, and it's about ensuring that the world understands that when states provide the weaponry of murder for others to subcontract on their behalf and to murder people, that there are consequences. And that should be the case for all states across the world, not alone Libya.
Who will the recipients of any future compensation be? Obviously, someone who's suffering horrific injuries as a result of what they went through. But what about the people who've already died?
Yes.
Is it family circle? Is it their next of kin? How do you decide who the recipient is?
Yes. Well, Frank, obviously there was an initial writ was developed in respect of those whom were impacted by Gaddafi and IRA-sponsored terrorism. But obviously the state of play has developed somewhat from that. As we understand, were this fund to be established, then there would be a re-examination of criteria, is what we're hearing. And then all of that would be in the rounds. But certainly, what we're talking about here is having a pot of finance which will enable people who have been damaged in this way to have a quality of life across their health and wellbeing needs, but also across their justice, truth and accountability needs. Because we need to understand, and you quite rightly raised the issue of wider legacy. The difficulty is that we have a situation, for instance, in Hyde Park, where obviously there was a trial which collapsed on the basis of an OTR letter being presented. The individual concerned has yet to face the courts in regards to that. But in the last couple of weeks, there has been an effort on the part of the Hyde Park families to mount a campaign to actually raise the finance which would allow for civil litigation to proceed. Well, this is something that with the support of a scheme like this, there could be a faster method in dealing with all of that, because we have to remember the Legal Aid Board is very prejudiced against the needs and interests of the innocent victims of terrorism.
But do you accept that there could be division among victims when it comes to the writing of cheques, and this could add to the hurt? There will be people affected by Libya who will feel they're included, people affected by Libya who will feel they're not included, and there'll be those who are affected by the IRA directly, where Libya had no involvement, who'll feel ostracised.
There's always, Frank, to me, the potential for all of that, and that's why, as I say, that horrible phrase, the devil's in the detail, and there does need to be significant time taken to actually arrive at all of that. But more so than cheques being written to individual victims and survivors, this is about actually ensuring that there's an infrastructure of service for people, because it has to be said, and many have made this comment in the past, that if someone was suffering from very, very profuse PTSD, if they have ongoing mental health difficulties as a result of what they have gone through, that in many ways, were you to present them with a cheque for £1 million without any support structure in place with them, that in many ways could be the worst thing you could ever do. So it needs to be understood that this is about providing for people in terms of their welfare and health and wellbeing needs, but doing so in a very structured and responsible manner.
And the whole issue of what is often referred to as state-sponsored terrorism, collusion, people requesting compensation, proper investigation, relating to all of that. Is your group, as spokesperson for Innocent Victims United, going to be as vocal when it comes to putting those agencies in the dock and their bankers in a position where they have to write cheques as well?
Well, Frank, what we have always said, and we're the only group in Northern Ireland, and this needs to be put on the record, we're the only group in Northern Ireland which has a very consistent view on the past in terms of if criminality were carried out by whether it be Republicans or Loyalists or members of the security forces, then all of that must be dealt with. And yes, if there are cases where there has not been compensation adequately paid for those whom have been the criminal victims of members of the security forces' actions, then of course the state must make that right. We don't cherry pick what was acceptable and what wasn't. There are other groups who are funded to provide support for victims and survivors, and that's what they do. But we are very clear that it was all wrong, law and order is what prevails, and there is right and there is wrong, and people in their hearts in this country know what that is, but they've allowed it to be glazed over a period of time.
And finally, Kenny, you liaise with victims, and I'm sure there are other agencies and groups liaising with victims on a, if not on a daily basis, certainly on a weekly or monthly basis. There'll be people listening to this programme at the moment who are sitting aching with pain because of some trauma that they went through in the 80s, the 70s, or whenever, and they will feel forgotten. It may have nothing to do with the IRA, it may have nothing to do with whichever organisation or group. They just happen to have been caught up in something. They know the name of the group or the individual who visited hurt upon them. What's it like for those people who are suffering still in 2017?
Well, Frank, that's an excellent question, and I suppose what always needs to be understood is that the nature of our troubles in Northern Ireland, I've always felt, were extremely personal, in the sense that if someone dropped in from Mars into Northern Ireland and they looked at us, we obviously all look the same. There is not a difference of skin colour. We in many ways merge as one community, and the fact that neighbour could do to neighbour what was done over the years of the Troubles makes it very, very difficult, because we often speak about, you know, the tragedies of losing a loved one to cancer or to a road traffic accident or a horrific death before someone's time, and of course that's all absolutely terrible and how that impacts people. But there's also this issue in terms of a family member, when a decision has been taken by another human being, that person's life is good to go, and that they actually remove that individual from this world. And that is so much more difficult and complex for people to have to deal with. And the realities were, in the 70s and 80s and even into the mid-90s, there were not the support structures and services for those individuals when they really required them. And they come in laterally in that sort of mid-90s period and onwards. But in many ways, we can't now redress the wrongs and injustices of then. We can, as Danny Kane and others have said, we can but only provide for those individuals now so that they have some semblance of quality of life for the remainder of their days. What we need to do, Frank, is to ensure that these individuals, as much as possible, can live again, as opposed to having to exist one day at a time.
Okay. Kenny Donaldson, thank you for your time. And our thoughts are with anyone this morning listening to the programme who are in any way affected by the Troubles and still suffering as a result of it.